TID 5, for those in the audience and listening at home, is the TID Tax Incremental Financing District for the Ballpark Commons project.
I referenced at the beginning that there were two sort of corrections that I thought were sort of no-brainers and included in the ordinance. One of them included was right here in the Capital Improvement Fund. Early in the process, when the state, when we got late notice that the state was withdrawing some revenue we had anticipated based upon their earlier notice, we had put some of that money in the Capital Improvement Fund. So this ordinance includes a reduction of $128,000 in intergovernmental revenue because we already pulled out the expenditures. We should pull out that revenue so that we don't make it look like we have a larger fund balance than we actually anticipate. On the expenditure side, you can see a fair number of projects, $750,000 to reconstruct Drexel Avenue and South 51st Street intersection, Ross and Holmes Water Main Project, begin planning for replacement of the lift station, $19 million for Ballpark Commons projects, about $1.3 million in park projects. We always put about $500,000 for potential sewer and water projects that are not necessarily anticipated based upon the need that comes up. Replacing the police department shooting range or significant components of it. $100,000 for fire department station alerting system, which only provides partial funding. So before that can move forward, additional work will have to happen. Includes completion of the historical barn. And there is $25,000 for the South 68th Street reconstruction planning. The development fund, which addresses impact fees for 2018, there's $644,000 expected to be collected. Debt service support of $454,000 is appropriated, but not all of those funds are likely to be available. And there's $1.5 million in park impact fees, which would be needed to support the park projects if all of those projects were completed. The debt service fund, property tax levy supporting the fund is $1.3 million. That's what I referenced, that 90% of the communities applied levy directly to this, and for additional levy, City of Franklin historically hasn't. The 2017 level constituted the lowest property tax levy allowable without levying a separate increase in the property tax levy specifically to support the debt. Therefore, approximately one quarter of the property tax levy supporting the debt service fund in 2018 will be designated specifically as debt service fund levy in addition. So we're beginning to use what they are, but we'll still be substantially under fully using the allowable aspect under state statute. Self-insurance fund, that's the fund that covers the cost of active employee health insurance. Costs are restrained from the originally projected budget based upon the plan design change that we have, and the budget incorporates an anticipated deficit in this fund of $200,000 to $300,000, probably right in the middle, but the fund does fluctuate a lot. And the intent is then to phase that out over a 2-year period with the addition of a high deductible HSA in 2019. Special revenue funds, we have a lot of those smaller funds. Civic celebrations. Appropriations were put in for a 2-day event. They came through to your last common council meeting with the request that turned out to be right on target with what we had estimated 2 months ago, so that worked out well. Grant funds, it includes a continued health department substance abuse grant of about $125,000 a year for 5 years. Will be in year two. St. Martin's Fair, it initially anticipated resolving the existing deficit, fund balance deficit, but loss of those planned state revenues that they had told us to expect and then sent us a new letter and told us not to expect means that that deficit will have to be addressed at a later date. Grants and donations in general were budgeted with expense appropriation to matching revenue, with matching revenue to try to avoid budget modifications as we move forward. Tourism Commission, I point this out, Common Council does not have direct control over this by the statute, but it is new to this community and to all communities across the state this year. Tourism Commission controls their own budget, but they must still adhere to statutory reporting requirements, so we use our budget document to incorporate that to help them meet those needs. And since most citizens will associate it with us, we will include it in our budget document. Revenues began accruing in 2017. For 2018, it's estimated they'll have revenues of about $105,000 with expenditures of $154,000. And their charge by statute is to pursue tourism development and tourism promotion activities, including but not limited to marketing, advertising, attending tourism events.
Let's not leave this just yet. For people in the audience, the revenues come from the taxes on each night's stay in the hotels. Prior to 2017, the state allowed the city to use that revenue for general fund purposes. The law was changed, and now we can only use a portion for general fund. The rest of it goes to fund the Tourism Commission. Shows the power of the hotel lobby and tourism lobby. So this is the net result of a state change. It is a reduction in general fund dollars available in the levy, but it's, well, there it is. I'll leave it at that.
So our budget process, this is the schedule passed in February, I believe. But the bottom line is tonight is the public hearing in consideration of adoption of the budget ordinance, and this is the last step in our annual budget process. So in conclusion, maintaining the low property tax rate for municipal services will always be of paramount importance, but it should not be enforced at sort of the blind risk of the core and essential services. So we had to find that balance between increases in property taxes and cuts in service and employ various strategies to mitigate or offset the factors driving both of these needs. So the 2.53% tax increase is historically reasonable, and since 2013 corresponds to the equivalent of just over 0.5% of new property taxes of the new construction.
Only thing I'd add to the presentation, and I should have talked to you about this, is it doesn't talk about where we started from back early in the summer with a budget estimate that predicted a shortfall of $1.6 million. So this budget solved that $1.6 million projected deficit. Projected a deficit of $1.6 million for 2018.
We did have that at the beginning. I did not want to dwell on that because of the hard work of getting past that, but that was our starting position. Really $1.6 million.
And that's what we met. That's what we started in June talking about.
June,
this, right?
Yeah, right. And personally, I want to thank the Common Council for their interest in solving the problem as early as we attacked it. So, okay, this is a public hearing. I will open a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak this time on budget only, please come forward, give us your name and address, and let us know what you'd like to say. Yeah, no singing.
Song?
Yep.
Okay. The only thing I wanted to add is, and I'm very, very happy to hear that the rumors apparently that are in the community do not seem to be well-founded. It's good to hear that staffing for the police department is staying the same or is being increased or there's an option for it. So I want to applaud the council and the administration for that. But I do want to add that every year, my neighbors, myself, my wife, we get together in the court for trick-or-treat, and we pass out candy, and we talk about things. This is probably not going to come as any surprise to any of you, but the number one topic by far in this community is crime, and that the increase in crime. I mean, there was a day when, Mr. Mayor, you and I were aldermen. We sat up there, and the big crime of the day was somebody stole somebody's screen door. There was a missing dog. We have come a long, long ways from that, unfortunately. And the police chief in the city of Milwaukee has been successful in pushing out some of the gang members from some of the areas for a while, unfortunately what he did is he pushed them out to the suburbs. And now we are having a rash of crimes like we've never had before. I'm not, just so you know, I'm not saying that the police chief of the city of Milwaukee.
I was wondering where you're going to go with this.
I won't hear those words. That is the number one topic in the city, by far, is the increase in crime. There are a lot of people in this community that are very, very scared and very worried about their safety. I don't think I heard that when I was the mayor. I didn't hear it when I was an alderman. While I heard Mr. Liberta talk about if you think that the police department is getting short-shrifted or et cetera, paraphrase, you know this, Mr. Mayor, that 27th Street has, and the crime on 27th Street is now percolating throughout the community or coming into the community. I think we're a lot better off than we have been in consideration to other communities in the area, a lot better off. But that's primarily because this council has taken a position to staff the police department adequately and to not interfere in the administration of that job. That should be left up to the police chief and to the fire and police commission. So with that, I think you have a very responsible budget, and I think I want to say that I really appreciate the hard work that you have done since June of this year. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to offer a comment. Mr. Mayor, you used to go to the ICC. You were president of the ICC. We had a meeting yesterday. And Mayor Barrett sits next to me or close to me whenever he shows up. And he's taken some polite heat on the crime wave that's happened over the last 9 months specifically. Well, he made a comment yesterday that almost caused me to fall over. And I'm proud that he did it, but he said, maybe our next meeting we ought to have the police chiefs in to talk about this rash of car thefts and how we can fix the problem. I almost fell over. So there is some acknowledgement that the issue comes from the north to the south, from the east to the west, from the south to the north, depending on where you are. So I am pleased that our police chief, Rick Oliva, is president of the Milwaukee County Law. No, not anymore? Take it for another day, okay? Former president of the Law Enforcement Executives Group. And there are things that the police department is doing that are not public, that I'm not going to make public, neither is the chief. But we do have an excellent police force led by extremely capable and qualified and good guy who gets the problem. And he and his team are working very hard to keep Franklin safe. And for your neighbors, Tom, who are scared, tell them there's no need to be scared, but there is a need to be diligent. So thank you for your comment. Anyone else wishing to speak? Ladies are always first.
Sorry. I wanted to...
Give us your name and address again, please.
Sorry, again. True Diva Hot and 8267 South Preserve Way. Thank you for addressing the resources of the police, fire, and department. That's very important for our community. When I look at the budget, I know it's a general overview, and I'm very naive, so please forgive me. But when I sit back and I think about, you know, some of the things, for example, I hope I heard this right, but you said as far as the benefits for the employees of our departments, like the health benefits have to increase or change or whatnot, you know, one of the things I heard is that in order to keep the insurance rate the same, they would have to do these extra things instead of... I'm just giving you one of the things that might have been considered. I don't think any of the health insurance rate went down. They're at what they were in accordance to what some of the health benefits... the employees would have to do some landmarks to meet that. I don't know if that's accurate or not. But again, when you mentioned that there were increased, I don't know how that's affecting that. You know, if you're increasing health insurance again and not negotiating, you know, I've seen that in a lot of other departments, whether it's Board of Education or whatever, we need to do that. If the hotels are coming in and the tourism is cutting in,
and saying we're only going to give you so much of your money now instead of what we used to get, we should consider having another hotel up there to make up for that. If we're selling something for $2 and now we're only getting $1 in it, we just increase what we sell. I just want to see, you know, I don't know if we're being a little creative in how we're trying to get the money, but we need to be open to, you know, attacking the deficit and increasing our revenue coming in and a lot of other alternate sources, which I didn't hear today. Or, you know, if I get the detailed budget, I'll have to take a look at it. But it's just a comment. And again, might be naive, but I don't hear that. And, you know, I don't know if it's a concern that everybody else shares or not, but it's just something to please think about. That's it.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Mr. Mayor?
Alderman Mayor.
Perhaps you or Mark could explain again some of the steps that have been taken since June, which kind of would address the citizens' concerns. I mean, a lot of alternatives were looked at over the last few months in many areas.
You want to do the health insurance? Let the record reflect that Alderman Nelson's left a seat at 24 after the hour.
Well, I referenced during the presentation some of the health insurance one. We don't have to negotiate with employees on health insurance benefits under state statutes, but we do have to keep it in mind because we have to keep employees in positions as well. So we do try to balance that, but we've had a good job over the last 4 or 5 years of maintaining health benefits while raises either weren't happening or were very nominal. So this year there was a substantial change in the benefits, which, as I talked about, we doubled the deductibles, we lowered the percentage, tripled the max amount of pocket dollars. So those did change. But I think if you go back to where we started in June at the 1.6, we spent a lot of time looking at the alternatives that we had. Each department had provided input. We really researched every revenue line item we have, and the state makes it fairly difficult. If you know, we don't sell things, you know, and we provide services. And if it's a service we're already taxing for, if we create some sort of new fee so that the, you know, to make specific, oh, well, now we know who's using this service, we'll target the fee to them so it's not covered by general taxes. The state now has a statute that in many cases we have to reduce the amount we can tax by what we collect in the fee. So the state not only handcuffs us but then wraps duct tape around the handcuffs. We're really limited in what we can do with revenue. But we do look very carefully, and that's why we looked at and were able to get the enhancement in the ambulance fees, the building permit fees, and We spend a lot of time looking at savings and alternatives for expenditures and operations because that's really where most of our control comes.
When you download this for everybody listening, the discussion of the changes we've made to the budget are all in the transmittal document. So it's in the narrative form. You don't have to go searching through all the numbers. But is that what you want, Dan?
Yes, thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Joseph, good to see you as always.
Thank you.
Well, we do need your name and address, but you know that.
Joseph, 12127 West Jefferson Terrace, Franklin, Wisconsin, obviously. Maybe I don't think I want to put this. I originally thought about coming up today because I wanted to talk about the police and fire department. But I want to expand that comment a little. We as a city, us, the citizens, I want us to take care of our employees. I think we have to start thinking about we will need more police. Crime is not going to go away. Hasn't. It's not going to get any better. We're going to have more of it. So we need to start thinking about more officers. But I guess I can put it best by saying this, and I'm not a fan of cutting benefits to the employees. I think you need to give them raises. and I think you have to try to hold up their benefits. I have a long career in government. One of the biggest things I ever had and have today, and is important, and I try to instill that in my daughter, health insurance. It's the biggest ticket item, I think, that somebody can have. So when you start cutting into that, you're really cutting into their life. So I'd really like to see that kept to a minimum, raising deductibles and cutting their insurance. But as far as the rest of the employees and things, we're looking at discretionary funds for $96,000. That's pittance, really. So I really think that we should try to do the things we need to do as a city to get better as a city and spend the money we need to spend. Now, sure, nobody wants to have taxes go up, but that's life. Taxes are going to go up eventually. So the longer you put some of these things off, the longer it's going to be to put them. But I think best put it at the end by saying this, that I want you to support the police and fire department. Because if something happens to my wife or myself, and we go to, I mentioned this to Dan a couple of weeks ago, if I fall down in my living room, I want you to send the best fire department, the best police department, the best and fastest truck, and I want all the equipment that you can bring. Because I want to get up here another day and talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. And you may not have seen the slide or recognized it. Let me describe it this way. A police officer costs the city about, what, $120,000, benefits, salary, uniform expense, that kind of thing. Similarly for a firefighter. If you think that, if you remember that we have a levy restrictions imposed on us by the state that limits us to new growth. If the total revenue that you can increase is less than $100,000, you're not adding anybody because you can't afford to and then maintain the services that you have. The only way we can solve that problem is by coming back to you, the voters, and saying, folks, we need to exceed our budget. We need your permission to hire additional firefighters and police officers. And I'm going to bring this effort to the Common Council probably in January for them to discuss and work with me on a plan of action to get us the firefighters that we need to fully staff our fire stations. I believe we need at least 9 firefighters. And I believe that the police department needs at least 3 more officers to do an adequate job in servicing a community our size. But we cannot do that through the routine course of budgets because the state just purely won't allow it. So that was my public speech. Sorry. It is a public hearing. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Mr. Ryan.